was to be able to preach again this morning, and I thank you all for your patience that you've endured all of this, and I'm so happy to be back in the pulpit again. This morning we had a lesson that was full of hope for all of us as we talked about the book of life. I want to approach something a little bit differently tonight as something that in our history has been a matter of controversy, but it also permits, as we study about Bible classes and whether or not they're scriptural, it helps us to explain about the authority of the Bible. Many people do not recognize the authority of the Bible. I was privileged to go to a debate with Brother Leon Odom and the non-class brother Ronnie Wade. And Brother Odom had the first approach. And he said, now I want to tell you up front, just plain, that we don't have specific authority for Bible classes. And Ronnie Wade just gloated. And it was a trap. Because when he got up there, he just glowed about the fact that you've already admitted this debate is over, that you don't have specific authority for classes. When Brother Odom got back up, he said, now I did that on purpose because I want your authority for your radio program. Where's your specific authority for your radio program? And he didn't have it. So it introduces the idea of two types of authority, and we'd like to look at this morning as we talk about Bible classes. It has been divisive among brethren through the years. Bible classes were not mentioned in the Bible, and I will admit, as Brother Odom did, we don't have specific authority for Bible classes. What right do we have then to divide ourselves into separate classes for the periods of Bible instruction? And that question has indeed divided brethren through the years. There's a group here in Arlington that does not have Bible classes, and I've talked some with their preacher. His name is Batterly, and we couldn't find a real answer. I told him that I would give him authority for Bible classes if he would give me authority for their television program, and he observed the fifth on that. Well, we should always be ready. We don't want to do anything unscriptural. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give an answer for your hope. And I do believe that as through the years we've studied this, that we have come to an understanding of what is authoritative and that we can have Bible classes. When you look at the Bible teaches that the church has teachers. In 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul was telling Timothy to preach the word, be an evangelist. In 1 Timothy 4:11, in chapter 6, verse 2, in 2 Timothy 2:24, people, men and women, men in this case, have been commanded to teach. So teaching and preaching are used synonymously in the Bible with regard to that. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, the Lord said that those who are teaching should teach others to teach, and thus you have the progression of the next generation coming along and teach them how to teach. I believe that a church can have preacher training classes and can take the younger men and prepare them to teach as the older ones have. Titus 2 talks about women teaching, and I've always wanted the women who have the ladies' Bible class to teach their own ladies' Bible class, because it gives them an opportunity to use their talents to teach. It's not always been possible for that to take place, but in some places we've had women taking Bible classes, and in Crockett, Texas, it was one of the best women classes that they ever had because they had a woman qualified to teach, and she wanted to teach. And that's just good in the church, and that's what the Bible teaches. And so the Lord has equipped the local church with teachers. In Ephesians 4:11-12, the Bible tells us that He's provided us with all the things necessary to teach and to preach and to edify the local brethren. So this is a part of understanding the idea of teaching as part of the church and its work. But it does not follow that the local church, or does it not follow that the local church is to provide opportunities for those individuals to do the work of teaching. So we do that here. As opportunity arises, we have Joel teaching class on Sunday morning, and this morning Terry was prepared to teach a class if we had the children come this morning. And that's just the way the church ought to be. We're supposed to be ready to teach and eager to teach and prepared to teach. And that's what the Bible is saying about us and our work. But are then the Bible classes authorized? And here's a broad extreme in both directions that causes confusion. Some hold extreme positions with regard to the authority of Scripture. Let me explain. Some contend that all things are allowed except that which is specifically forbidden. And you'll find that oftentimes among the Protestant denominations. And you have to stop and think what all that involves. If it's not specifically forbidden, then they can practice that. And that opens the door to all kinds of things that denominational people do. Others contend that all things are forbidden except that which is specifically mentioned, and that's the non-Bible class brethren. It's got to be specifically mentioned, and they don't recognize different kinds of authority. Well, there are two types of authority, and the Bible very clearly teaches this. Specific authority, which names the action in detail. In Matthew 28:18-20, go and preach and teach the gospel. Now that says specifically the gospel, and so we're not going to do and take fables and fairy tales and that sort of things because it's been specifically authorized. On the other hand, generics, which live methods, detail to the one commanded. For example, when you say that we must go, that's a commandment we must obey. But God left it up to us generically to decide how to go. And thus, the Apostle Paul would ride in a boat, or he would sail, he would walk, and on various occasions do anything to be able to travel. So that's generic authority. To preach, how long do you preach and when do you preach? You preach in a house or in the community or on a boat? Where do you preach? I was tickled. Brother Ron Halbrook has a reputation for being a lengthy preacher. And we've all ribbed him about that. Someone said that he was preaching in the Philippines, and a woman came there, and before she left, she had a child. She just went behind the curtain and had a child. And it was plenty of time to deliver for that child. Larry Hapley had a reputation. He'd put two sermons together and make one out of it. And it wasn't at all unusual for him to preach an hour. So you have generic authority. Now, we might not particularly agree with some of that, but then the teach. Do you teach one-on-one? Do you teach many? Do you teach groups? Do you teach classes? And those are all generic things. I maintain that generic authority is still authority. Thus, when the Apostle Paul got on a boat, he was obeying the idea of going and preaching. And God left it to him as the best way to go. The same thing is true with us as we teach the Bible. It is up to us if we teach one-on-one in a house somewhere, whether we teach classes or in groups. And when it comes down to the gospel, I notice a lot of brethren these days have the gospel on the internet. They have it on their phones. And they're not playing games. When they look at their smartphones, they're looking at Scripture, whether it's written or oral. And I've known of some brethren now to teach over in Africa by Skype. They set up a place where they teach over Skype. And they reach into various countries. And that's just wonderful. So you have to understand generic authority. That's what Brother Odom was trying to tell Ronnie Wade. No, we don't have specific authority for classes, but we have authority for classes, and those classes are generically authorized. We see that in the Great Commission. Specific, we are to preach the gospel. What are we to do? We're to make disciples. So we have our work cut out for us in doing the work of the church. How are we to go? Walk, ride, horse, go by boat or car or bus or plane or video conference. Those are all things that are authorized under specific generic authority. And God has not limited that because he allows the choice of the one how you're going to do the commandment. For example, we are told specifically to assemble on the first day of the week. Well, do we assemble in a rented building? Do we assemble in a building that is a church building? Do we assemble by car? How do we get together? However that does, I know that whatever way that I get together to assemble with the saints, assembling is specified. God allows me, whether I want to walk or ride or whatever, to get to the assembly. But it's a specific command that we must assemble. He leaves it up to us as to how we assemble. And that's certainly generic authority. And so in 1 Timothy 4:11 and Titus 2:3 with the women, there is teaching to be done. And specifically, men and women are authorized to teach, but what is to be taught? The Bible. One time in North Carolina, a lady was teaching the kindergarten class, and somebody noted that she was using Mother Goose. And we had to talk to her about that. That's not what you teach in the classes. You don't teach Mother Goose stories. You teach the Bible. And there are plenty of authority to teach in that. So, what method of teaching? Brother J.D. Tant probably had 300 debates in his lifetime. He converted many thousands of people by debate, by sermon, by house to house, as the early church did, a written letter, as the elders at Jerusalem did, as they sent a letter to the different churches from the apostles, a correspondence course, a newspaper, radio, all those various things. Why not Bible classes? And the idea is that some are saying you don't have specific authority for the Bible classes. I agree with that. But do you have a specific authority for a radio program? Do you have specific authority for a television program? And they will say no, but they will insist that it's authorized. And I would agree, because it's generic authority and we need to understand that. So we are to teach, but what aids can we use to teach? You see, there's a difference between the aids that we use and the work itself. And so we have behind us on a chalkboard, overhead projectors, as we're doing tonight, PowerPoint, maps and workbooks. So all of these can be used in classes. And those things are expedients, as they're, first of all, lawful. For a thing to be expedient, first of all, it has to be lawful, and generic authority makes it lawful. So then you use the expedient way. In a small church somewhere, they might not be expedient to use a PowerPoint. I remember at Longview, Texas, when the elders asked me, would I use PowerPoint? I said, I sure will, not knowing that they just bought it in a box and gave it to me. And I had to put it up on the ceiling and go through learning. I had never used it before. And it was sort of awkward, but it was scriptural, and we learned how to use that. And then, of course, workbooks and things of that nature. The Bible class arrangement is not commanded, but neither is it forbidden. It's an expedient means of fulfilling the generic command to teach. And on that, I would defend what we're doing. I've always wanted to be sure that what we do is scriptural. I don't want to accept that what brethren have done in the past is what we can do now. That's a bad way to authorize a thing, because we've always done it that way. And so looking at this in an honest sort of way, we could teach without classes. We could meet and we could have we would have a system where we would not have classes. It's not commanded. But there are expedients that we can use that will help bring people up to the gospel of Christ. And so we do that because it is authorized to do that. The objections to the Bible class arrangement are there's no authority for the practice. But what they mean, there's no specific authority. And I agree, there's no specific authority for that. So we don't have a problem with that. But Bible classes are authorized under the heading of generic authority. And I would debate that. I would defend that because I think it's right. They are not specifically mentioned, but can be employed to carry out the general command to teach the Word of God. And they've done tremendous good. So many young people have been taught the Lord in classes along with their home. So many people have been edified as a good teacher teaches in the class to bring the Word of God out to us. And so it's an expedient way to do that. The Bible classes, they say, divide up the body of Christ. And they go back to the Corinthian church. But the dividing of the body of Christ in that way was a sin of division within the church. One was saying, I'm of Paul. It's one saying, I'm of Paul. It's not the same kind of division. When we meet, in fact, I remember in Florida, I was worshiping there at a place, one of the congregations, while I was attending college, and they would meet in the auditorium, and before they had anything else, the classes would be asked, go to your classrooms, because they were sensitive to the idea that we divide our classes. We divide the church. Well, no, that's not really dividing the church, as is taught in the Corinthian letter. It's the idea of expedience, of bringing the gospel to whatever age that is there. And as we have an adult class here, we discuss things in that. Some of the youngest students would not understand at all what we were teaching. And so it's expedient to have the different classes. So 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 13 condemns the practice of dividing the local church along the doctrinal lines. This is not the same as dividing members and their children into smaller groups for a period of biblical instruction. I won't tell you what J.D. Tan said about that. He made it very plain that not everybody was able to receive the same food at the same time. And so he had defended the practice of classes. Children learn at a different level than adults. Elders can employ the Bible class as a means of effectively teaching all ages. And I've said this before. For example, a young class can begin to be taught about David. David, this wonderful singer, the man who was able to kill lions, the man who killed Goliath. And there's a level right there at that fundamental age where you can teach them about David. Then in a teenage class, you can talk about David again at a higher level, and you can talk about the sin that David did and some of the things of David's life. And then in an adult class, we can teach it again at the adult level and show what David did wrong and what David did right, and the throne of David, and how David ascended to the throne of Christ. And so there's a lot of levels of instruction in the Bible, and we can be expedient in teaching all of those different things. But there was someone who used an objection of printed literature. It was a sin to use printed literature. But I always wondered why we had printed Bibles. If you have printed Bibles and you have articles written by preachers that are teaching from the Bible, what is wrong with printed literature? So this dates go back to the opposition against what was the Sunday school arrangement. There was a time when the Sunday school was a separate part of a denomination. And they had a superintendent of Sunday schools, and it was a separate wing altogether. They took collections and they did all these things as a separate department of the church. We've never done that. The Sunday school, as it's taught, is more just Bible classes for us. And so there's no central organization for the Lord's church. We don't have a superintendent of Sunday schools, and we don't have those kinds of things. Printed material is simply an aid in teaching the Bible. It's neither commanded nor condemned, but you have the Bible itself as being printed, and you had letters that Paul wrote to the churches. So it's rather ridiculous to say that it's a sin to have printed literature in the sense of the New Testament. Then women should not teach. I've had brethren almost go to blows with me over the fact that women should not teach at all. And the Bible teaches very clearly that it should. No woman is permitted to teach or usurp authority over the man. And that's the restriction, and outside of that, a woman can teach and give instruction. She's not usurping authority over a man when she's teaching a class full of women and children. Now, in our day, we're seeing women take the leadership in some of the classes in churches of Christ. That's not authorized. The Bible doesn't teach that. And it's nothing to do with putting women down. It is recognizing rather the place of service that God allows women to do. And so it's a wonderful thing to have women who love to teach, as we do here. So the Bible classes are authorized. The church is commanded to teach. Effective teaching involves different methods. Since the Bible does not specify the method that the church is to use, we're free to use any method that does not violate Scripture, but rather have generic authority. It is not a sin to separate separate the church into smaller groups for a period of Bible study, and that's what we do. It's not a sin to purchase and use printed literature. We all have printed Bibles, and we have other classes that we use. In fact, I wrote off some, I pulled off some things we use on Wednesday night from David Pant. He had an article on how the history of institutionalism. So we're studying that on Wednesday night. Printed material, but it directs your thought to the Bible. It's not a sin for women to teach classes that do not contain men. So I thought tonight we'd just sort of go back, and I like to look at things that we've done in the past, not because we've always done them that way, but because I believe it's authorized to do them that way. And I never want to be involved in something that is unauthorized by God or a violation of the authority of God. But when people fail to appreciate generic authority, we get into many problems. And we need to understand specific authority. We need to understand generic authority and to use those in the work of the church. If there's anyone here tonight that has any questions about that, we'd be glad to entertain them later. If you have any need to have the brethren pray for you, let us know, and we'll certainly be glad to pray and work with you in whatever your need may be. Would you stand and sing as we have our song?